And I said, oh, please, Jeff, don't do this to me. And here you are. Hello and welcome to Love It or Weep It, where we let you know if we love an anime enough to recommend it to everyone or if it's just for the worst of the weeps. I'm Annie, and I think that the most iconic 90s anime is Sailor Moon.
I'm Jeff, and I think the most iconic 90s anime is Digimon, and that Annie's wrong.
Oh, I knew you would say Digimon.
For anyone who hasn't listened to Love It or Weep It before, we each week cover a new anime of the currently airing season, and this is a special episode because it is our spring 2020 draft pick lineup episode where we are figuring out what shows we're going to cover in the next season. That being said, this is like where we put things in stone and we figure out our schedule for the next season. This season's obviously weird because there's all this global health crisis stuff going on, so we might have to adjust the season as it goes on because who knows what's going to happen. We've already heard about some shows that we're excited for getting postponed or canceled after a couple episodes this season, so things might be up in the air, but we're going to pretend they're not right now and adjust later. So first off, we have 12 slots. And we decided we're going to do a thing from now on where whoever picked the most winning shows from the past season, whichever ones we ended up loving, gets declared the winner. So I'm the winner of last season, and I get to pick a classic anime for us to review in the next season, so this season. So I am picking...
If it's Digimon, I swear to God, I'm hanging up this call and I'm leaving.
Okay, no, I think... We do have to set some ground rules. It has to be either one core or two core. And Digimon, the shortest Digimon season is like 48 episodes, so it's off limits.
Okay, well, you don't have to pick right now, but...
I am going to pick Penguin Drum, Mawaru Penguin Drum.
What?
My favorite Ikuhara show.
All right, I've never watched it.
You are going to either love it or be wrong.
I'm
going to
weep it.
And so we have that one classic review, Penguin Drum, we're going to review this season. We have one listener pick, which we'll talk about over the course of the season. And encourage you to vote for. And that leaves with us with 7 to 10 new shows we need to pick. So just going to repeat the criteria. It has to be a new TV series, new TV anime series, legally released in the US between April 1st and June 31st, which means the things that are off the table include things in Netflix jail, like BNA, which are not out in the season. And we also are not going to be covering sequels because we're hoping this is accessible to people jumping in. So, okay, so we are going to pick 10, even though based on the variance of... How many things we end up loving and how many review episodes we commit to, we might only cover 7 of these, but we're going to list 10 now. Annie, you go first because I picked the classic review.
My first pick and the thing I'm most excited for is The Millionaire Detective, Balance Unlimited, with the longest title, I think, of the season.
Yeah, what a name. What a name.
What a name.
It's Millionaire, The Millionaire Detective, N-.
Oh, yeah.
N-, Balance, : Unlimited.
Yes. Okay, so the description for it is... Detective Daisuke has no problems using his own fortune to solve crimes, even if he assesses human lives based on their financial worth. What? And then Compassionate Haru sees all life as sacred and is sickened by Daisuke's materialistic ways. Can they stop butting heads and overcome their opposing worldviews for the sake of solving the toughest crimes in the precinct? Okay, I didn't think that was going to end with precinct. I thought I was going to say world, but like, it's fun that they're in one area, I guess.
It's very limited in scope.
We have to do it. That has to be on the list. I'm writing it down. You don't even get an option to argue with me.
It was on my list too.
Hell yeah.
I put it further down because, first of all, I figured you would do it.
Yeah.
You'd pick it. And second of all, I'm a little bit worried that it seems like it's centered around a single joke. I'm a little bit worried that we might have an Oda Cinnamon Nobunaga situation.
Yeah, but these guys are hot. So.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, okay, this might be the same joke over and over again, but the guy's hot. So
yeah, and Miyano Mamoru is in it, so.
Oh, boy.
Listen, he's the driving force for me living.
Okay, my first pick, and, you know, I did not pick, this is not my, this thing I'm most excited for. I'm using lots of strategy. I'm using 3-dimensional chess because I'm thinking about, I need to earn some points so I can pick the classic review next season. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about stuff that, like Millionaire Detective, I didn't put high on my list because I thought Annie would pick it too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is my 3D chess first pick, which is My Next Life as a Villainess, All Routes Lead to Doom.
I knew it.
I'm excited for this. I don't think it's actually going to be trashy. I think it's going to be a fun otome concept. Anyway, so the summary description is, wealthy heiress Katerina Kleiss is hit in the head with a rock and recovers the memories of her past life. It turns out the world she lives in is the world of the game Fortune Lover, an otome game which she was obsessed with in her past life. But she's been cast as the villain character who tries to foil the protagonist's romances. The best ending the game has for Katerina is exile, and the worst, death. She'll have to find a way to avoid triggering the flags of doom and make her own happy future. The misunderstanding-based screwball love comedy begins now.
Okay.
So,
you know what? I knew this was coming, so I've prepared myself. It actually, people are saying positive things about it, but
I don't know why you assume that my taste is bad when it's always been good.
It is bad. It's fine. It's people seem to say this one is good, so hopefully I won't be suffering the whole time.
Well, that is also my goal, so.
Oh, my God. All right. My turn. I'm so excited for this one, actually.
It sounds like you are singing your answer.
Oh, shit. That gave it away, huh? It was sing yesterday for me.
Did you mean to sing?
No.
I was just guessing.
I subconsciously was singing it because it looks so good. So, this is a story of love and humanity following four boys and girls trying to live their best lives through hardship and turmoil in a small town on a private rail line just outside of Shinjuku. Yay!
Yeah, this actually was my number two pick because I didn't think it would be on your radar.
Oh, wow. No, it looked good.
I've not seen any previews or anything for it, but it seems like a grounded, you know, like realistic drama.
Yes.
With nuanced characters, and I'm excited.
What really sold it for me is that I was looking at it and it's not based around high schoolers. It's like kids right out of college.
Huh. Well, but it says they're 18 year.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Oh, the story's 18
years old? The story's 18 years old. It's based on the manga from like 1997 or something.
That's a confusing bit in the description then.
That's why I was like, what the fuck am I reading? Like the description I was reading that was not that one is about like a college graduate unsure about his future working at a convenience store.
Ooh.
And then like he runs into like his ex-girlfriend and runs into like this other new girl. And she has like a pet crow or something. And I was like, you know what?
Same.
This sounds lit. I'm into this. I'm ready to watch it.
Well, now I'm upset because you stole it from my... I won't get the credit for it once we love it.
No, it looks really good. I'm excited. I'm also happy to steal a win from you.
All right. So my second pick is going to be... I need to rethink my strategy because I'm saving something I know you will never pick for number three.
No.
Okay. I'm picking I'm picking listeners.
Oh, no.
This is a description from Funimation. In a world without music, young Echo was there the day legendary player Jimmy Stonefree and his mecha disappeared. I love how it's like, young Echo was there the day legendary player Jimmy Stonefree and his mecha. And it's like, anyway, his mecha disappeared while fighting the mysterious Earless. 10 years later, he meets an amnesiac young girl named Mu who has an input jack on her back, as you do. Could she be a player like Jimmy? Together, they set off on a journey to unravel her past and save humanity. That description could be like bullshit and stupid. I've seen positive reactions to it. That's basically what I'm going on. And it's by Studio MAPPA. So like they generally have pretty interesting animation. And I think their track record is fairly positive. They usually don't work on projects that are just complete trash. Or at least the numbers are few.
Mm.
So I think it has potential.
Yeah, I thought that too. And then I saw a little bit of it and I was like, oh no.
Oh boy.
It was on my radar. I saw some clips of it and I said, oh, please, Jeff, don't do this to me. And here you are doing the exact thing. I was hoping what next? All right. Time for something good. So my third pick is going to be Wave, Listen to Me.
Mm.
So get ready. Honestly, I saw it with Sunrise as like the studio and I was like, all right. And the description for it is, on a drunken night out to complain about an ex, Minare Koda absentmindedly shares too much information with a stranger from the radio station. The next morning, she's shocked to hear a voice on the radio. Bursting into the station with intentions to justify her previous night's rant, quickly turns into an interview on air and an offer to share her chaotic life with an unsuspecting audience. And that sounds really fun to me.
Also, I'm confused why you picked that summary. That description was intrigued you because it was by Studio Sunrise, which I associate with like mechas and
Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, I didn't know they did Cowboy Bebop. Okay.
Mm, yeah, that's what I thought. Or when I think Sunrise, or I also, didn't they do Inuyasha?
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, I think of them as like Gundam, Code Geass, like Escaflowne, I want to say. Yes. Yeah, I guess it's not just
Gundam.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. I think they did Cowboy Bebop and Inuyasha, and I cannot remember. I think the Gintamas.
The Gintamas.
I think it'll be good. Also, again, I'm really into stories that aren't about high schoolers.
Yeah, I'm intrigued because it's a story about someone talking on the radio, which I'm like, oh, she's a podcaster. Okay.
Oh my God. I hate you. Don't ruin my pick with your bad words.
My third pick is going to be your favorite show of the season.
Oh,
it's a very
fuck.
Empowering feminist fantasy series called Princess Connect Redive.
What the fuck is that?
This is one I'm excited for because it's based on a gacha game that I've played a decent amount in Japanese. It doesn't have an English release. So I'm excited for this on many levels because I don't understand the story and I could read it, but it's hard. So I gave up and I just play the game without understanding the story. But it is trashy, but I'm hoping it's trashy in an empowering way. Because the premise is about a like protagonist schmuck Kirito boy who gets brought into a world full of I don't know if they're all princesses or just all these girls that are like the units they have in the game are all of these amazingly powerful women. And it's like hopefully empowering in how cool they are.
I do love powerful women.
But also it is very harem-y. Like, but I've heard, I've seen reactions to episode one that the show is kind of like self-aware of how harem-y it is and like pokes fun at how schmucky the guy is.
It better.
So I'm hoping there is humor there. And it's by, the gacha game is by Cygames and the show itself is by Cygames Pictures. And I have lots of trust in Cygames. Cygames has a really good handle on, first of all, making good gacha game mechanics, but also having really good stories tied into those games and has done interesting things in adaptations of gacha games and in anime in general. Like they were involved in Zombieland Saga, which I have not seen, but got so much praise. So I'm really hopeful for the show. It could be trash, though. It's very much on the fence. I'll read the description briefly. In the beautiful land of Estria, where a gentle breeze blows, a young man named Yuki awakens with no memory of the past. There he encounters a guide who has sworn to care for him, Kokoro, a lovely swordsman who's always feeling peckish, Pecorine, and a cat-eared sorceress with a prickly attitude, Carol. Led by fate, these four come together to form the Gourmet Guild, and so their adventure begins. So very generic fantasy, but yeah.
I'm going to throw you into the streets. I can't believe this.
It could so easily be terrible.
It's going to be.
But I'm hoping it crosses the line. It's so trashy that it's good.
I'm going to tell you right now that it's going to be just trashy and I'm going to throw you into the street. How could you do this, Jim? There's so many good shows and this is what you do.
What is the point of having this podcast if I can't force you to watch gacha trash?
All right. Well, here's one that I'm going to force you to watch. So this one, I don't know if it will be good, but I'm very interested in it.
Are you drawing right now?
What?
No, okay. I was trying to guess like how I guessed that you were singing before. I was like,
no,
maybe it'll work.
No, it's a Tower of God, actually. Oof. Hey, don't you make that sound. You're making me watch this Princess Connect re-bullshit. I can't even remember the title. So Tower of God, I'm interested in because it's a Crunchyroll original, right?
Excuse me, don't you mean Kami no To?
No, that's enough out of you. So it's like it's a webtoon that they made. They made an anime, and I'm very.
Actually, I want you to know, first of all, this is your favorite anime trope, but I'm pushing up the my glasses right now, and I'm saying I'm actually, and I'm saying it's not actually an anime because it's produced by Crunchyroll, which is an American company, so it's actually not an anime.
I don't think that's correct. Anyways, it's produced by them, but it is made in Japan.
Yes, it is like I actually don't know the full breakdown of this, but like I think the caring about the distinction between what's anime and isn't is already bullshit. And this is like, there's definitely a heavy Japanese side to this production. So that's bullshit. It's anime.
Yes. So this anime, Tower of God, the description is, reach the top and everything will be yours. At the top of the tower exists everything in this world and all of it can be yours. That's a bad description. I need them to know that. You can become a god. This is the story of the beginning and the end of Rachel. Whoa. The girl who climbed the tower so she could see the stars, and bam, the boy who needed nothing but her. So this sounds awful. I hate it already, but I'm very interested into watching it because I like webtoons, not this webtoon, but I like webtoons. And I'm hoping if it is good, like there's hope for other shows that are based off webtoons.
This is like someone being like, well, I hate Marvel, but like I like manga, so I guess I have to go see Thor. No, I'm excited for this just because I have not read the webtoon. And I've heard so much hype for it and other webtoons. So I am like intellectually curious to see what the hype is about. The thing that I am dreading the most about it is that I don't expect it that good. And also it has a Thunderbolt Fantasy problem because it's both it's originally a Korean story and the anime is made in Japan and everything. Mm-hmm. So they do not say BAM. They say a Japanese name that is not BAM.
What do they say?
I don't know. I saw that there's a Crunchyroll features post that's like explaining why they don't say BAM, why they're saying a Japanese name that has a similar meaning as the Korean meaning of BAM. So, it's going to be like a Thunderbolt Fantasy situation, which, if we go on a Thunderbolt Fantasy, is it a mate? I should have made you watch Thunderbolt Fantasy.
Well, it's too late now.
That's also technically not anime because it's puppets.
It's anime.
It totally is anime. It's so good. Anyway, it's Taiwanese Japanese co-production. So it's like the story is based on Taiwanese and Chinese legends and the Taiwanese and Chinese characters. So like everyone has a Chinese name, but in Japanese they're saying a different name, and they use the like faithful and true Chinese names in the subtitles, which don't look or sound anything like the Japanese names are saying.
Okay, so it's just like Kingdom, like the same situation.
Yeah. I've heard that happen with the Kingdom movie as well.
Yeah.
And does it happen with the Kingdom anime? I've never really heard anyone talk about the Kingdom anime, so.
Yeah, it's a problem in the Kingdom anime too. I think in the subtitles they use like the Chinese names, but they're saying it in the like the Japanese names.
Yeah.
So, oops.
Oops.
Just pick one.
Yeah, so I'm bummed about that, but
But we're going to watch it anyways.
I'm also excited for like the potential webtoons, Crunchyroll cross promotion kind of stuff.
Yeah, when they get Lore Olympus up in there, Oh, you know we're watching that.
Okay, my next pick is an indie small show. Probably no one's ever heard of it. It's an original concept. It's an original anime. Never been done before. It's pronounced Digimon Adventure.
You are not making me watch
this. I'm making you watch Digimon.
Jesus.
Okay. So, let me read the summary, because I'm going to carry away if I talk myself. It's the year 2020. The network has become something humans can no longer do without in their daily lives. But what humans don't know is that on the other side of the network is the digital world, a realm of light and darkness. Nor are they aware of the Digimon who live there. Fifth grader Taichi Yagami's mother and little sister Akari went to Shibuya, and now they're aboard a runaway train. This is a weird mix of, like, general setting and, like, the plot of episode one. Anyway, Taichi hurries to Shibuya to save his mother and sister, but the instant he heads towards the station platform, a strange phenomenon befalls the Digidestined, and Taichi goes to the digital world. Also not true, because I'm breaking format on this because I've already watched two episodes because I also have a Digimon podcast where I've talked about both these episodes. Mm-hmm. But I get to force Annie to watch it, so.
Jesus, I can't believe this. Okay, so I haven't watched any Digimon since I was about like 9 years old.
Perfect.
So, I can't believe this. I was like, oh, Jeff's already watching this for his other podcast without me. I'm sure I won't have to watch it, but here we are.
Okay, joking aside, I think it is possibly the most accessible entry point to Digimon that has existed since
the original.
People were 5 years old in the 90s, you know, so there are so many things that can be entry points to Digimon. Like most Digimon entries are completely standalone stories, so you could get into them, but they're not very good. And so like it's a really hard thing to convince people to watch or get into, because you do have to like put up with stuff that's pretty mediocre until you develop an affection for it. And I feel like this only two episodes exist right now, but it is like of a quality that I think could hook people into being fans of Digimon without having that pre-existing love and affection for it. That's my hope.
All right. Well, I guess I'm doomed.
So I guess I should also mention that pick was the first one that like potentially if we love everything we watch, we might not have time to cover.
Hell yeah. Sign me up. Oh, you know, that makes me feel a lot better about my next pick, because my next pick is actually, what is it? Kakushigoro. Another one that I'm not like crazy about, and it doesn't like scream like this is gonna be good like The Millionaire Detective does, but it does seem like it might be pretty. And it could be like, because it's kind of like Bakuman again, but with lewds. So
I have thoughts. I was surprised you were going to pick this, but I think you need to get into the synopsis before I can explain why.
Okay, so synopsis. Single father. Sorry.
I don't know why. Sitcom already right there. Single father.
Fine. We've got a single dad over here, Kakushigoro, and he has a secret. He's a top-selling artist of popular erotic manga, but his impressionable young daughter, Hime, okay, her name's Hime, anyways, can never find out. He's having to bend over backwards. Oh, come on. Just to keep her inquisitive little mind from discovering what he does for a living. A father-daughter tale of love and laughter. All right, so this is not the description I read. This is much worse.
Yeah, I was like, Annie wants to watch the thing about like the father-daughter thing that's about lewdness and like, oh no, the daughter can't find out that he draws porn. Oh no. Like,
yeah. I'm not like super excited for this one, but I feel like it's going to be one of the most talked about ones, and I'd like to know if it's actually trash and I should be mad about it, or if it's somehow sweet.
Yeah, I love when things that are like father-daughter also involve lewdness.
Yeah.
It's a recipe for success.
Jeff, please don't make me regret this decision. I already regret it.
I'm wary about the show because I just heard everything I've heard about it. It does seem like it's like entertaining enough that people are talking about it so far. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the kind of thing that is very, there's a lot of difficult to translate and difficult to localize jokes. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of criticism of both the translation and Funimation subtitle displaying of same translations. So I'm worried.
Well, if I'm going to say that something's garbage, I would like to be informed about that decision by watching the first three episodes.
Okay, that's not what you said when I made you watch Plunderer.
All right, but that one you could have already told from the key art. You could have just known. Right from the get-go that we didn't have to watch that.
Okay, that key art was not quite so obvious.
Oh. We're not getting into this. We've covered Plunderer. We're done. We weaved it. It's trash. What's your final pick?
Okay, my final pick, and I'm pretty content at this point. Like, we've actually gone through like the first eight of my like top things. So I'm down to things that I like did not feel very strongly about. And so I'm going to pick, I don't know how you pronounce it, Apare Raman. Let me read the summary. So this is a summary from Funimation. The socially awkward yet genius engineer, same, Apare Sorano, and the wise but cowardly samurai, also same, Kosame Ishiki, find themselves aimlessly drifting in the sea between Japan and America, same. In order to earn enough money to get back home, the duo enters a Trans-America race in their own steam-powered car. Rivals, bandits, and other trials await them on this race from Los Angeles to New York. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see that one on my search. And if I did, I ignored it.
I'm not like going to defend it. It seems like it might have potential. It's from Studio PA Works, which...
Hit or miss.
Yeah, they've done some really good stuff and they've also not.
Well, here's my worry with PA Works then. Because they're also doing A3, which mm-hmm. we're also waiting on. So, who knows?
Also, Annie, they did superb masterpiece, Uma Musume, Pre-Derby.
Oh my god.
Horse Girls.
Okay, the thing that I really like, that I'm actually like a super big fan of, that they did was Eccentric Family.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably my favorite thing that they've done. And if everything could just be that good, please, then that would, then this would be great. But like, they are pretty hit or miss, and like, they swing very back and forth on the pendulum of like garbage and...
I feel like nothing, looking at the list of things that they are known for, first of all, one of the things that intrigued me about this show is that it's an original work. And this, it's one of the only, might be, hold on, I'm looking at the full list of shows. I think Listeners is the only other original work this season. And BNA, but that's in Netflix jail.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot, Netflix.
So I'm intrigued on that note, but I mean, yeah. PA Works has done a lot of original works. That also doesn't narrow it down because they've done great original works and they've done Glasslip. Mm-hmm. But like, even Glasslip is just bore. And I think that's the worst one of their shows that I actually tried to watch and hated. And it was just dull. But I don't think it's going to be like aggravating.
Yeah. Well, they've done like, wasn't Angel Beats an original thing?
It said so. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. See, like, they've done some good stuff. So hopefully it's good. But we won't know until we try. So I guess thanks for picking it, Joe.
And thank you, Annie.
Hey, if someone out there wants to suggest that we do, for a listener pick, wants to suggest that we do, what was it? The really bad one that's also based off of a mobile game. It was with Hot Boys, and it sounded like it was based off of, like, Bungo Stray Dogs, but not.
Oh, there's one that, like, has Alchemist in the title.
Yes.
Bungo and Alchemist, and I'm like, it's not Bungo Stray Dogs?
I know, that's what I was thinking. I was like, is it a spinoff? Anyway, someone suggests that. I want to watch something that's, like, kind of bad, but cute.
The thing I love about that is, like, I don't know anything about the series. All I know, I have the summary from Funimation pasted in here, and it's, like, this is the summary of the anime. From Studio LLM, known for the Pokemon series, the original Berserk anime, and Ni No Kuni, it's like, are they known for the Pokemon series? I never heard. I guess they're maybe known for doing animation for Pokemon, but like, you shouldn't need to start off your synopsis by being like, this studio you haven't heard of before, they did Pokemon, don't you know?
Yeah.
So, are there any others that like, because I feel like last season we were like, oh man, we missed Madoka, like we really screwed up.
No, there's nothing anything. My heart was really set on. I kind of was interested in, like, Woodpecker Detective's Office, but whatever.
That got some pretty high reviews from Anime News Network's preview guide, but I was confused because it's just because it came out the latest. It came out today. Is that right?
I don't know. That's today.
Anyway, like, I haven't heard, like, anyone talk about it, so I was confused by that reaction. Maybe it's because it came out so late.
It seems like a pretty solid season. It seems better or more promising, at least, than last season.
And we'll see what happens if these shows actually all air.
Yes. Oh my god.
It also, I'm excited for it as a fan of gacha games. There are so many, like, we're going to be covering Princess Connect Redive, but also a different Side Games game, which it's Shadowverse, the digital trading card game, which I don't know if it technically qualifies as a gacha game, because I guess you can still buy cards. It's not really a trading card. Anyway, and that does not seem good, but is controversial. There's also Shironeko, which I haven't heard anyone say anything positive about, but that is a like really big Japanese mobile. It's like been one of the biggest gacha games in like historically, but I'm pretty sure it's been falling for a while, and this is probably an attempt to revitalize it. And but like it had like an English localization years ago and then failed and only lasted a year. So I don't think it's gonna be good.
Okay, wait, there was one that I was interested in, but then I said, you know what, that's too weird. No. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you say it. Gleipnir?
Gleipnir?
Gleipnir. Yeah, that. It looks buck wild. It's like someone who is like, who can transform into like a dog with like a zipper that like unlock or like unzips, and like someone can climb in his back. And it looks horrifying.
I thought you made fun, like, I thought months ago I was like, I'm excited to cover this in the podcast, and you were like, Jeff, you're trash, you're sexist.
Yeah, looking at it, you are garbage. That's why I looked at it and I said no. It also was like, it's weird enough, but I don't think it's as good weird as like Chainsaw Man. Mm-hmm. Which is also a little sexist, but in a weird way. I don't know. It's just like a new sexism that I'm not used to, so it's caught me off guard. But
yeah, and this one seems like Lightning Air seems like it is bizarre enough that it has potential, but it also might be generic trash.
It could be interesting, but also I shouldn't be able to see that girl's whole butt while she's wearing a skirt. It just doesn't make sense.
So I wanted to go over the which ones have the highest ratings on AnyChart.
Oh my god!
And it's what is it? It's Tower of God and Sing Yesterday for me. So like I feel like it's both ends of the spectrum.
They both have the highest ratings?
Yeah, like the highest average of 73.
Oh, those are both my picks. Isn't that funny?
Wow. I mean, I was saying that because I think that that is not a very good sample audience. Like I actually think the Anime News Network user ratings seem like pretty solid like measures of actual quality. Like, they have the highest from those numbers, at least when I pulled this data in the last couple of days. Villainess was number one. Villainess and Millionaire Detective were tied. And then Digimon Adventure, then Art and Apare Ramlan and Woodpecker Detective. Art is one that I was, like, seeing people talk about and thought we might get to, but did not really stand out that much to me.
Yeah, me either. If someone wants us to watch it, they can recommend it. But, like, cool, we get it. They're in Italy. It's old times. They're doing old-timey shit. I'm tired. That's my review of Art Date.
We should review anime having never watched it.
Yeah, which is like, hey, yeah, they're in Italy. It's Florence. They do art. Sucks. Move on.
Oh boy. Okay.
Okay, that's it. That's our our lineup. Spring 2020 lineup.
We hope. We hope it happens this way.
We hope. As long as everything's on schedule, we'll be watching The Millionaire Detective, Balance Unlimited, then My Next Life as a Villainess, All Roads Lead to Doom, then Sing Yesterday for Me. Listeners, wave, listen to me. Okay, wow, that's confusing.
We're just getting all the listens together.
That's very confusing that we're doing listeners and then wave, listen to
me. No, we're doing sing, then listeners, then wave, listen.
Oh, Jesus.
It's all the audio stuff together.
Okay, and then Princess Connect Redive. Thanks a lot. Tower of God, Digimon Adventure. Is there a subtitle to that?
It's Digimon Adventure colon. The colon's
that's
very
it?
Important.
There's nothing after the colon?
No.
I thought that was a typo.
No.
Jesus. Okay. And then...
So I've been calling it Adventure colon.
Oh my god. Ew. That's horrifying.
Let's dive into the Adventure colon.
I don't want to adventure anywhere near anyone's colon.
We're going to Princess Connect re-dive into the Digimon Adventure colon.
No. Anyways, after that is Kakushigoro and then Apare Ranman. And then please someone suggest a listener pick that isn't garbage like Jeff. Anyways, that's it. Yay!
I think we're gonna end up watching Dragon Prince, probably.
Please, no. I don't want to watch Dragon Prince. It's too old now. It's not new.
It never was new.
It was never new, but it's extra old now. Anyways, thanks everyone for listening. If you want to watch something that's not anime, Jeff, do you have anything?
I'm looking at my list, and the thing I put down was Digimon Adventure, which doesn't
count.
That's anime. Yeah, the whole point is not anime.
Why would you say this?
My whole life is anime.
Yeah, mine too. Wow. We suck.
I will break the rule this one time to recommend Digimon Adventure, because we're not going to actually cover it on the podcast for a while, based on this ordering. Mm-hmm. And like I was saying before, I think it is really appealing to anyone who has any passing interest in Digimon, basically.
Okay, so I'm going to amend this. So thanks for listening. If you want to do something that's not listening to our podcast or watching anime, you can listen to another podcast that Jeff does about Digimon. If you are just itching to know about what's going on or just hear Jeff talk about each episode one by one.
You can't use your plug to plug my thing.
That's too late. I already did it.
That's not genuine.
Hi, I'm Annie. I'm Jeff's manager, and I like his other podcast.
You've never listened.
That I've never listened to do well, because I don't watch Digimon, Jeff.
I can't blame you, but also, you're wrong.
I'm right. You're wrong. Shut up. Thank you for listening, if you made it this far. If you want to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, please do that. Or you can send us an email at loveitorweebit@gmail.com or on Twitter at loveitorweebit.
Let us know your listener picks, if there's something that we did not pick in our lineup that you are desperate for us to review this season.
Yes, do that also.
And I am on Twitter at JeffinlyJeff, and check out that Digimon podcast that Annie plugged, Podigis, which is also on Twitter at Podigis, and you can also just search Podigis in another any podcasting app. Annie, where can people find you?
Oh, I'm on Twitter at Annie Other Name, and I'm pretty cool.
That's debatable.
Anyways, bye! Bye!
And as we always say, Jesus loves anime.
I'm Annie, and I think that the most iconic 90s anime is Sailor Moon.
I'm Jeff, and I think the most iconic 90s anime is Digimon, and that Annie's wrong.
Oh, I knew you would say Digimon.
Because Sailor Moon is big enough that if someone likes Sailor Moon, does not mean they grew up in the 90s. Whereas Digimon, if someone cares about Digimon, it's probably because they grew up with it, and you can identify when they grew up and they grew up in the 90s based on their affection for Digimon.
No, okay, but that means Sailor Moon is way more iconic because it transcends time. Are you joking?
It's too big for the 90s.
Are you kidding me? Also, it has like created the like magical girl genre.
We did not say the most iconic anime. We said the most iconic 90s anime.
Yes, and it's from the 90s, and it's the most iconic 90s anime. How dare you? I knew you would say Digimon, but wow.
Yeah, I feel like I was kind of like forced into that. I was like, if I don't say Digimon, then like...
You could have said, I don't know. I was trying to think of something else.
But Pokemon, I feel like, is in a similar vein where it's like the most famous anime, the most famous franchise, but it doesn't feel like a 90s show. Like, it technically started in the 90s, but it's transcended that and is just an anime. It is like still one of the biggest things.
Still going, kind of, but you could have said
kind of, excuse me, Ash did not catch a Charizard. Wait, no, did he? A Dragonite, a Gengar, and a little baby Lucario, whatever that thing is recently, for you to say that he is only kind of doing stuff.
Okay, it's just like a different show now. But
no, it's the same show.
Anyways, I messed it up. I ruined everything. Okay, I'm going to pretend this whole conversation never happened.
Okay.
It's about, I don't want to say the names wrong. Kay is an 18-year-old youth. No. Cut that out, Jeff.
I love the youths.
Listen, okay, I can't read this tiny ass font. She keeps trying to get me to watch Boruto, but... Hey, Boruto's good now, actually. So you just had to wait.
Are you okay?
150 episodes.
Is something wrong with Annie? Where did Annie go?
No, Boruto got kind of good.
This is one of those like, what would someone say to make you know that they've been kidnapped?
Boruto's good.
The only thing I've had any time to do outside of making podcasts recently is Final Fantasy VII Remake, and it's like, people already know that exists. No one needs to be told.
Yeah. I'm still doing Animal Crossing. Bunny Day's over. Hell yeah. I'm free.
I only open Animal Crossing to get turnip prices, and then
that's
all I check.
I check the store to see if they got any good shit.
I basically stopped playing as soon as I had to like increase the star rating on my island, and Isabella was like, you have too many trees. Get rid of your trees. And I was like, screw you.
Yeah.
I'm not getting rid of trees.
She hates trees. I tweeted about my mullet that's growing in because we're on lockdown and I can't cut my hair.
I got a buzz cut and it does not look good. And I...
Oh, no. Did you do it yourself?
Well, Eric did it.
Can he... Oh, wait. We're in isolation. Also, like, can he shave the back of my head? I have a mullet.
Oh, no. And the problem I had is that I, like, we basically, like, started with a long card or whatever, and then, like, slowly did each one. I was like, okay, a little bit less, a little bit less. And I did not realize that there was a bunch of hair sitting on my head. So like, I was like, oh, it needs to be small. It needs to be shorter, shorter, shorter. And then like, I was like, okay, that's good. And then I like brushed the hair off my head and it looked very different. I was like, oh no.
Now you gotta wear hats.
Yes. Now I have a hat.
Oh God. All right. Anyways, bye.
Bye. And as we always say, this is fitting for Easter. They were recording this the day after Easter.
God.
And Bunny Day. And as we always say, Jesus loves anime.
This is blasphemous.
It's also great for Passover. Great Passover content.
Yeah, I guess. I'm going to be like, Jeff, you cannot speak for what Jesus loves. You didn't have to go through 15 years of Bible school like the rest of us.
I had to go through Hebrew school.
That's different.
At least I had to learn a foreign language.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Not really.
Hey, learning a foreign language when you're young makes your brain more susceptible to learning languages.
But they never taught us how to, like, they only taught us how to read, not like what words meant.
That's your bad for not going the extra mile. Did you watch Prince of Egypt yet?
No.
Are you kidding? That's what I should have plugged. I should have plugged Prince of Egypt, the best movie of all time. The animation holds up. The music is incredible. It's got Sandra Bullock. Like, what else could you ask for?
Steve Buscemi?
Okay, well, it has Steve Martin. That's and Martin Short. Val Kilmer.
Have you seen pictures of
Michelle Pfeiffer?
No.
These are all people in Prince of Egypt.
Have you seen pictures of Biggs from Final Fantasy VII Remake?
Oh, yeah.
He's really hot.
Yes, he is.
Did you see Ashley's reply to my tweet?
No.
She pointed out that he just looks like Charlie Sheen.
Oh, and no.
It's just ruined. It's just gone.
Well, now I can never look at him again. But anyways.
On that note, on that bummer of a note.
Now that Biggs from Final Fantasy is no longer hot.
Should we end every podcast by like being like sad that we mentioned Charlie Sheen?
No,
because that's like horrible. A Japanese joke, right? Like where when they had that thing where it's like, oh, there's just silence and it says Sheen.
This is stupid and I hate you and this is nothing. And I would rather talk about Prince of Egypt again.
I love when you're like, this is nothing. This is not content.
This is not content. I was telling you, you have to watch The Prince of Egypt. That's can I, if I win, for make my classic review of Prince of Egypt?
You got to win first.
That's anime, my dude. It's got Jeff Goldblum.